The first Sunday of Lent. The epistle is taken from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone, that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience and tribulation and hardships, in distresses and stripes and imprisonments and tumults, in labors and sleepless nights and fastings and innocence and knowledge and in long sufferings, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers yet truthful, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones be made loaves of bread." But he answers and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." And the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down. For it is written, he has given his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their heads upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "It is further written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God thou shalt worship, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This is one of those homilies that I don't want to give. I don't want to talk about what I'm going to talk about. But if I see something, and I don't talk about it, if I withhold a correction from you, then I will have to answer for it. And if you don't take the correction, then you will have to answer for it. If I don't speak about this, there's a chance I could go to hell. And I'm going to be honest. We have to realize this. But I don't want to talk about this topic. But I have to. Greed is one of the capital vices. It is one of the seven deadly sins. Pride, lust, anger, covetousness, which is greed, envy, sloth, and gluttony. It's a capital vice. It's one of the seven deadly sins. It's a capital vice, like a capital city. A city that is capital over other cities forces those other cities to do what the capital city wants. And so the capital vice is that way. It takes over and it forces other sins to work to its end. So greed is this way. And our society is completely immersed in it. Greed is an inordinate attachment to wealth and material goods. Inordinate, it's not proper. It is not properly ordered. It is disordered. It is an over-love. It's a too much loving of riches and money. St. Thomas Aquinas says that this is the vice of the elderly. Just as impurities, sins against the sixth commandments, are the vice of the youth, this is the vice of the elderly. But it's not exclusively for the elderly. It's just they tend to slip into this more. But we live in a society that is based on greed. Greed is good, they say. Our country invented modern capitalism, and we are the best practitioners of that in the world. We've taught the rest of the world how to be capitalists. We read it every day. We hear it every day on the news, the stock reports. We have magazines. We have all these things associated with it, explaining it, teaching us how to be good capitalists. But capitalism is a system which is based on greed. It presumes that greed is there, and it tries to channel it for some good. But fundamentally, it's flawed. Why? Because that desire for riches, the inordinate desire for riches, is a sin. We have to realize this. You know, we can talk about impurities. Most people here will recognize that we live in a very impure society and that we're drowning in it. You drive down the highway, you see the billboards, you see the can't watch TV or, you know, movies and all these things. We recognize that. But we do not recognize the fact that our society is even more immersed in materialism. We are drowning in material things and we don't even realize it. We have to recognize this. You know, I've talked about this a couple times in the past, and I don't like talking about it. I remember the last time I talked about this. I know the exact day. It was Labor Day weekend, 2012. And I didn't have to look it up. I remember it because I find it distasteful. Because whenever a priest talks about these issues, immediately people tend to be angry, or they put the blame on the priest. Oh, well, Father, you just... Or fill in the blank. They don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear this. But we have to talk about this. Our hearts are attached to sin. And we have to tear our hearts from that sin. The reading for Ash Wednesday was that. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Tear your hearts from your sin. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. And our Lord is talking about the treasure as in what, you know, not just riches, but this is all things. But we have to recognize that inordinate attachment to riches is a vice, and that we have to rend our hearts from it. That every one of us is susceptible to this. And there are people who are willing to sell their soul for this. Remember, capital vice, we're willing to sell our soul for this, for whatever it is. We have to recognize this. So how do we fight against this? It is through liberality. Not liberalism. Liberality. To freely give. Everything we have has been given to us by God. God lets us keep a portion of it, but He wants us to imitate Him and give. This is what we're supposed to do. You know, it's good. We can look at little children and we can see insights in the spiritual world. I think everybody's seen a little 3 or 4 year old child have a little toy and they cling on to it and they shriek, "Mine! This is mine!" And you try to gently tug it away and they'll say, "Mine!" But it's not really theirs. The parent just kind of smiles and say, "Look, it's not really yours. It's mine. I gave it to you and I'm going to take it away from you." And that's us. God gives us everything. Our material goods. And this vice is the vice of that little child that wants to cling on to it. Mine. I'm not going to... It's mine. I earned it. I worked for it. It's all mine. And I should be able to do with it what I want. No. God gave it to you to be a steward for it. And you can, of course, supply for your family and take care of your welfare. But He expects us to then be generous. It's important to remember this. that the first murder occurred because of this. A brother killed his brother over this inordinate attachment. Cain and Abel. Remember, they both, the children of Adam and Eve, they both made their offerings to God. Cain offered the animals because he was like a shepherd or a rancher, I guess. And Abel offered his fruits. And God accepted Abel's gift and rejected Cain's. Why did he do that? Because Abel gave the best to God. He didn't hold on to the best fruits. He gave, and this is where we get the term first fruits, not because they're the first ones picked, but because they're the first, the highest quality. He gives that to God. He renders his heart from that. Cain, though, did not do that. He gave God the seconds. And I know someone who has a dairy. They're not here. I mean, this is far away. And he says every now and then a calf will be born, and its hoof will be kind of deformed. He says there's really nothing you can do with it. You can't raise it to be a milk cow. So they have a little pen in which they keep it, and they kind of feed it for a couple months because it can't even go out in pasture. He says, and then we just slaughter it for food, basically. But he says, and I remember being there one time, and we were looking at this calf, and it was kind of sad looking to see it try to walk around. But I realized that this was the type of thing that the Jews would then offer to God when God would say, you're not offering me perfect sacrifices. You're offering the deformed ones. What are we going to do with it? I don't know, let's just offer it to God. That's not rendering the heart. But we often do that. That's what Cain did. And it led Cain to anger. And we have to be careful about this because whenever there's a homily on this, it's easy to be inflamed with anger or cynicism. Remember, cynicism oftentimes is a form of anger. And Cain got so angry, what did he do? God even warned him. He said, the devil is crouching by your door. But Cain didn't listen, and he killed his brother over this issue. We have to recognize that this is something that affects us very deeply. This sin predates the sins of impurity. Even though we recognize impurity as being a problem, this is probably more fundamental. At the end of the Old Testament, we have this at the beginning. At the end of the Old Testament, we also have God talking about this, or an incident of this. This is in the book of Malachi. I talked about this 18 months ago. The people weren't being blessed. Things were terrible. And St. Malachi says, speaking on behalf of God, why don't we receive blessings? Why don't you receive blessings? Why don't you receive blessings? Because you withhold the tithe from me. The tithe being the 10% gift that everyone's supposed to give. Now, we don't practice the tithe anymore. You're not required to do that. But you are required to, though, give. It might not be 10%. It might be more than 10%. Or maybe not give money, but give quality time. You don't give, you don't tithe. And because of that, I don't bless you. Think about that little child. Mine, mine, mine. What's the parent going to do? Just give them more stuff? No. No, a good parent won't do that. The child will just become more and more spoiled. And so God, being a good father, does not pour his blessings out on people who are possessive, who are inordinately attached to these things. We have to remember this. And in this, after that, God says, it's the only place I know of in the Old Testament where he says, test me on this. And he literally says that. Even though in today's gospel, our Lord quotes to Satan, do not put the Lord God to the test. That is, you don't do something expecting God to respond. But in this one case, he says, test me on this. If you give the tithe, will I not pour down my blessings upon you? And yet, people are still hard-hearted. We have to recognize that this is a real sin, and it affects us. And I know it's uncomfortable to hear it. But you have to hear it. You know, if someone only donates $5 a week, $5 a week, and I guess I should be clear on this, you know, we're supposed to give freely, and this is where the cynical part comes in. Your parish should be your first place of donation. Your parish should be. There are many good Catholic things to give to, but the parish should be the first place. This is where you're born in the baptismal font, you're baptized, you'll be laid out here in your coffin. You receive First Communion at this rail. You also receive communion every day. This should be your primary place. If someone only gives $5 a week, if that person is, say, a teenager who's maybe babysitting or maybe working in the neighborhood or in gardens or something like that, helping to do that, that's probably being very generous. But honestly, if someone is an adult and has an adult job, has a house, or maybe can only afford an apartment, is that really being generous? Is that? I'm going to say no. Now, there are always exceptions. There are always exceptions. Maybe someone is in a particular situation, and yes, for a period in their life, maybe that's the best they can do. And they don't have any time to donate or anything like that. But we have to be clear. Is that really giving back? And like I said, this is the part where someone might get a little cynical. Oh, Father, of course, you know, of course you want this. You know, I will be transferred someday. It's not anytime soon. I have no vested interest here. This is your parish. Now, I'm ready to spend the rest of my life here, if God wills, and I'll be happy to spend the rest of my life here. But do not fool yourselves. This is your parish. And I have to point this out, that we need to really look at our hearts. And I should say we, and I say we, because St. Thomas Aquinas says, even priests are not exempt from this. Priests have to give also. And we do. And we have to look at our hearts and really ask, am I attached to these things? Do I give freely, or am I really spiritually that little 4-year-old clinging on to things? Is $5, and I'm just using that as an arbitrary amount, is $5, is that really being generous? Is that where my heart is? Or is my heart, where is my heart? You know, and as I said, you know, people don't want to hear this. And I'm sure there are people here who don't want to hear this. But I'm sorry. I've got to say it. Because if I don't talk about this vice, if I don't talk about this sin, then I will be held accountable for your sins. And I'm not going to do that. You have to recognize that we live in an extremely materialistic culture, a culture that has made greed something good. And I'm here to say it is not good. Capitalism is not a perfect economic system. And the lessons we learn from it are not good for our spiritual life. And so let every one of us then look in our hearts and really ask, do I need to make a change? Do I need to rend my heart from this attachment? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.